Hi everyone, Pitching to Contact is back for episode 2. Once again, my name is Rich Perfer, and obviously I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Pete Horner. Today, we have a special guest with us. His name is Derek Peterson. He is the CEO of 3P Sports. Derek, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for having me, Rich and Pete.
Pete, how are you doing? How's your week been? I know you just got out of class. How's life?
Life's been good, man. It's been a journey, but that's every week of life. It's always a journey. Just watched the Indians get smacked by the Astros.
Yeah, it must have been quite a journey the past little bit with the Indians just got embarrassed over the last three games, man. That must have been tough.
Yeah, it was a rough thing to watch, but you also kind of have to tip your cap to the Astros. It just shows you how good of a team they are. But at the end of the day, we just made non-competitive pitches, and we just didn't put up enough quality at bats to beat a team of a tier like the Astros. So we just kind of got our booties handed to us.
For sure. Well, anyways, Derek, for all the people who don't really know you just yet, mind giving us like a brief introduction? Tell us what you do. Tell us what 3P Sports is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So 3P Sports, pretty much running the day-to-day operations. You know, we're a small team, but we make good use. We currently handle, marketing, social media, the website, app design, and then we put together some good content using predictive analytics and some resources that I'm sure you guys are familiar with, Fangraphs, Baseball Savant, and doing some up-to-date current events. You know, watching the playoffs, I caught the Astros dominating the Tribe. That was an unreal series. But, so our focal point for 3P Sports is an app that we call PitchRx. It's not out quite yet, but it'll deliver markerless motion capture for baseball pitchers. Mm-hmm. And the real beauty behind it is the ability to take the sports science and bring it to your iPhone so that any kid can take a video off their iPhone and get a biomechanical analysis of their pitching delivery. And Rich, I'm sure you know with your background, getting that kind of data is so useful for not only predicting injury, but personalizing your player development program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I actually find really awesome about that, you just mentioned it, my background in biomechanics, my grad thesis is all about using 3D motion capture. And as you know, Derek, getting one of those 3D motion capture cameras, it costs like over $1,000. And when we have 10 different motion capture cameras surrounding our indoor mound, the price really adds up. It's a lot of money that goes into it. And then pitchers have to go to an actual lab to throw and get that biomechanical feedback. And what I really find cool with the app that you guys are producing is it's completely markerless. All the pitcher has to do is throw in game. It's super simple. And I think this is just the future of sports science and baseball, and really the future in sports science and just across all sports. This is something you can completely do in hockey. You can do it in basketball. You can do it in football as well. I think it's really, really awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. Technology is amazing. But I think just like anything, like our focal point is really just doing it well for pitching right now. That's the way we're best positioned to launch, you know what I mean? And you're absolutely right. The 3D motion capture systems are incredible, right? They're in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they probably take up like a whole room, just like the old computers used to. The beauty of it is we have some really brilliant technology guys they work out of the DC area, and they develop some software for drones that allow drones to see. So just like any other technology, I mean, we're right on this new edge of emerging AI and computer vision. It's very exciting. Our system gets about, so every single pixel is a data point, right? And so we use that information to help our software see and understand what's in the video. That's really about as far as I can go with it. But we take that 2D video and make it a 3D model. So the real innovation is just the ability to take a 2D video, turn it into a 3D model, and be able to get your biomechanical joint center, which is very, very cool.
For sure. And what many people might not know about you is you actually had a stint in pro ball, and you were actually a position player. So I guess my question is, how did you transition from being a position player to being in something like 3P Sports, which is super pitcher heavy and just really analyzing pitching mechanics?
Sure. So I'll try to sum it up as quick as possible, but baseball has been in my blood ever since I was born. My grandfather, Pete Peterson, was a catcher for the Pirates, later became the general manager of the 1979 World Series, We Are Family Pirates, and then went on to be the GM for a brief stint with the New York Yankees under George Steinbrenner. And then my dad, obviously, is the pitching guru. So he's the story really starts back in 1987 when Dr. Andrews decided he wanted to open up a lab for the American Sports Medicine Institute in Birmingham. And none other than Dr. Fleissig was his research director. So just as fate had it, Rick was a double-A pitching coach with the White Sox. And so the White Sox owner, I'm sure I'll botch this story, but maybe next podcast you can have Rick on. He'll tell it as is. But so the White Sox owner had him, pulled Rick in one day. It was like, hey, you need to go check out this AS in my lab. It's very cool. We want you to, start doing some research out of there with Dr. Fleissig. So month on month again, and, they researched all the way back to the Bob Gibson era, to the modern day pitchers that we do today. And Dr. Fleissig's still down there. I saw him last winter, actually. So it's very cool to see their body of work over 30 years of research come to life. And as my path has it, so graduated from Temple. I was a senior sign. My last year at Temple was the last year of the program, actually. And had a solid year, led the country in doubles. And that was like a really cool year for Temple. Like, so our program got cut, and we jumped conferences from the Atlantic 10 to the American Athletic Conference. So I'm sure, Pete, you're in with Bowling Green in college baseball. I'm sure you can imagine what that kind of jump was like. So we're, instead of playing St. Bonaventure, we're playing Louisville.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so wow. That was actually like one of the best things that ever happened to me. So I got to face, Nick Birdie, who I think recently was injured, and some of the flame throwers that were pitching at the time in college baseball, and happened to catch someone's eye, and was a senior sign, but had a great stint in pro ball. And I think my love and my path to sports technology really happened in 2016. 3 days left in spring training, had a piece of cartilage chip off my knee and had to have season-ending knee surgery. At the time, you kind of realize, like, all right, you're a senior sign, you know the deal. Like, that's probably it. You're probably gonna send you to the glue factory. But the Orioles were great. They later sent me to Australia. That's how I know about Sydney Blues. But they gave me the opportunity to keep learning the game. And I had the great fortune to do an internship as a TrackMan operator in Aberdeen, their short season A team, while I was continuing to rehab. That was the first time I was able to really kind of understand that, what we see in the batter's box as players can be quantified. And, when you see someone who has a sneaky fast fastball, there's a number and a finite margin that you miss that by. And, the trends show that, people keep missing that same pitch by that much. And, and obviously as a player, my mind just like went to Disneyland, and I was like, holy moly, like you're going to be able to do like, you're going to be able to prepare for these guys. Like it might not be so sneaky fast next time. Yeah. So, really love what's going on with the game of baseball, and it's just a fascinating time to be involved in sports tech.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So one of the questions I definitely had for you, Derek, was just, first off, I think the technology that you guys have is really, really cool. I think it's really intuitive, and like we kind of talked about earlier, Richard kind of noted, was that obviously biomechanical technology that you use to track that kind of stuff, 3D cameras, it's super expensive. It's, you know, super just like it's a lot really unaffordable for a lot of college teams unless you're a top tier program. So one question I definitely had for sure was just like, what was the motivation behind everything? What led you to where you are now? What made you like say, this is it, this is the future, this is where I want to be right now?
Totally. So, I mean, I kind of diverted past there, but so 3P Sports started back in 2008. And when it first started, I think I was in high school. And by 2014, so the product that we were selling them was basically just video analysis, right? You set up a tripod. Back then it was a camcorder, right? It was a camcorder and you take your video, you send it in. And we had a more advanced approach than what you would see now on like Huddle Technique, where we're looking at things that we could tag that we knew like, okay, that was a bad, you know, motion, right? So the inverted W at foot contact would be one. And that was great. And so I started working as an internship when I was in college doing the video analysis myself. And, you know, happened to trip over some physics software and realized like, well, okay, you could, like software, you know, I could imagine at that time, I think the first sensors came out. I was like, oh, okay. So you could probably put a sensor on your elbow. Okay, cool. I wonder if, you know, maybe video could ever circumvent that. And sure enough, it did, right? So you can automate things now, you know, so that's how self-driving cars can work. They strap some cameras on there and that's how that car can drive down the road with no driver, you know, but I mean, I think the real, like, you know, the wow factor that you're kind of talking about is like, well, so you're studying biomechanics in a kinesiology lab and your system cost $120,000. You know, so the first computers, you know, took up a whole room. You know, back then, who could ever imagine that you'd have a computer in your pocket? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just Moore's Law, you know, just the progression of technology. But I'm not a coder myself, really. Like, I'm on the business dev side. But our dev shop is great. They're out of DC. And they're very advanced in drone software technology. So mm-hmm. computer vision's not very different for them.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys are designing this app right now. What is kind of the timeline for when you're planning to release it?
You know, I think it's a really tough question. I mean, you never, you know, that's really like the entrepreneur's quorum, right? Which, when do you want to release something that you've been, you know, that you've been working on? You want to make it absolutely perfect, but, you know, the saying nowadays, like a lean startup is like, you know, I think Mark Zuckerberg said, if you're not embarrassed by your first version, then you're doing it wrong, right? So I think every day we go back and forth, but you know, with guys like Rick Peterson and Dr. Fleissig involved, you know, we feel very strongly about standing behind the quality of our product and what it can do. So I think that's the best way I can answer that.
Mm-hmm. That it's honestly really awesome how you guys get such different perspectives. I mean, and something like this, it could completely change the way the game is played. And it could be used on the high school level and it could be used all the way up to the MLB level, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll completely change the game. I think that, that you know, we haven't released the product yet, and I think the game is already going in the right direction in terms of taking the right precautions. We just think that we could help aid that effort, you know, with data capture and with something that's more seamless than a sensor. But I mean, you see it now in Major League Baseball. You have more starters, more pitchers on the pitching staff, having more diverse roles, and six man starting rotation to provide for an extra day of rest. And so you're starting to see some trends in baseball where, you know, people are putting more emphasis on not overusing people, and you know, people are taking a closer look at biomechanics. We're definitely not the first people in the space. I know Simi has a markerless motion capture system. I think there's a company called can attract that did markless motion capture. Our solution is really more centered on the youth and amateur market. And the big win for us is really the ability to have it accessible off your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. So just kind of trying to shift gears just a little bit. One thing I actually wanted to ask you a little bit, Derek, is just a little bit about your playing career. So, like, what was one of your – you and I both have a little connection with the Down Under over in Australia. So one of my questions for you definitely was, like, what was one of your favorite experiences playing ball?
Wow. My favorite experience playing baseball, like, if I were to pick out one, like, in terms of, like, on the field, you know, I think, like most players, the experience that you have just, like, riding the bus and, you know, traveling the country with a group of 25 guys, you know, is an experience that you'll never have in your life, you know, and you become close to guys, you know, it's just a good atmosphere to, like, you know, you're grinding in the minors. And so obviously, like, everyone's facing adversity through a 140 game season. But one moment that stuck out that was really special to me was I had gotten called up to full season A after going to extended spring training. So I'm sure most people can probably, if you've been to extended spring training, understand it's not really the place you want to be, right? You want to be on a full season team. Mm-hmm. And I joined the team right before they were going on a road trip to Lakewood, New Jersey. And I'm from Wall, New Jersey. So I think it was like my fourth or fifth game in from joining the team. We went to Lakewood, and it was awesome. I got to have like a bunch of my buddies there from high school. It was like a hometown reunion. And in my first at bat, I hit a homer, which was my first homer in pro ball. So I was really stoked about that, and it was awesome. My mom was there, my family was there. It was awesome.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
Wow. Well, so if you can give us like a quick scouting report of what kind of hitter you were, because it seems like you've had quite a bit of extra base knocking you, like a lot of doubles. You're hitting dingers now as well. What's like the brief scouting report on you?
Oh man, you could throw it anywhere, but right down the middle. I think I'd probably miss it. But I mean, obviously, I wasn't that great, or else I'd still be playing.
Yeah, I guess that's something that could apply to all of us. If we were just like really, really great at this, we could be in pro ball right now, hitting 95 mile per hour heat. You know, since the playoffs are going on right now, we're kind of getting to the halfway mark. The Indians have just been destroyed. Is there a team that you're pulling for right now? How are you thinking it's gonna wind down now?
Oh man, I got to throw it down for an Astros Brewers showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching the Brew Crew. I think they have a strong team, and I enjoy watching their unique style of play. Mm-hmm. How about you guys?
We actually went on record to say the Dodgers last week. I think it's the Dodgers just can't keep losing like this. They got to eventually pull through and get over the hump. But it's interesting you say Astros, because it seems like they're just on a whole nother level right now.
Alex, yeah, I was about to say, I am last, not to cut you off, Richard, but yep. I know last week I went on record and saying the Los Angeles Dodgers were going to win. But, you know, honestly, after watching the way that they played the Indians now, no, I will note that the Indians definitely underperformed, but at the same time, I was watching that Astros team, and that Astros team is just on a whole different level right now. They are out for blood. I would not be shocked if they win this entire thing.
Yeah.
At all.
I just want to keep watching Alex Bregman play baseball. There is nothing that dude can do on a baseball field. It's one of the most incredible things to watch. But yeah, the Brewers.
The
that's
guy
another
that has my eyes is Josh Hader. I mean, that guy is like untouchable right now.
How do you hit that dude? Like, I'm watching that guy pitch. How do you touch him?
From watching him, what makes him special? From how I see him pitch is like he's all the way on the first base side of the rubber, and he has no problem locating his fastballs on both sides of the plate. Right, like I mean, he's painting on both sides of the plate, all the way in the first base side of the rubber. As a lefty, you're going like, wow, that's got to be just impossible, you know? Because like, the pitch recognition time coming out of that time slot, you know, it's just got to be so hard to recognize, like, where this pitch is going to end up.
Yeah. And he gets that great extension out front, so the ball just kind of explodes at you. Like, up here in Canada, if it, I actually was a pretty decent left-handed hitter back in the day when I was playing high school ball. Of course, it's Canada, so, I mean, we're not
super great. Do you want to tell them where you were playing high school ball at?
I don't want to talk about that, but I'm just picturing.
You be careful. Joe Mauer might be listening.
Oh,
they're
going to
like that.
There we go. And I'm just thinking about it from a left-handed hitter's perspective, and it just blows my mind how good Josh Hader is. It kind of reminds me a little bit of what the Cleveland Indians did a couple years ago with Andrew Miller, how you just throw him in the game, have him pitch like a couple of innings, and he just destroys everybody. Obviously, Andrew Miller was a little off his game this time around, but that's just kind of what it's reminding me of, and it's going to be really fun to see how the Dodgers and Brewers series goes down. Derek, you actually played some minor league ball with Baltimore, and they're going through a little bit of a change right now. They're stuck with a really, really bad looking Chris Davis contract. They moved on from Manny Machado and Jonathan Scope. What do you think is kind of what they should be doing moving on? Like, how can they kind of right the ship now?
I mean, it happens all the time in baseball, right? Yeah. I mean, the Astros were the worst team in the league, what, 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, I think it's just like the ebbs and flows of being an organization. You know, it's just very tough to you know, be a factor for an entire decade. But, yeah, I think the Orioles had a great run. They have some great players. It was actually fun watching them going through a rebuilding year. You know, a lot of the guys who I played with got an opportunity to make their debuts in the show, and, you know, that's a positive from it, too. So it was awesome seeing guys like Steve Wilkerson, David Hess, and, you know, Cedric Mullins, and, you know, Jimmy Iacobonis. You see all these guys, you know, make a name for themselves on TV, awesome wins. You know, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think they're going in the right direction. They've got a young team. Who knows, 3-4 years, they wouldn't surprise me if they're back on top.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sort of allegiance to a team right now, or is it just changes every year based on who's good, what players are hot right now?
If I were to have any allegiance, it'd be towards data capture in the game and just being able to watch the game through numbers and just to see the game become safer, especially at the youth level. But baseball is the best game in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. My mom hates it right now, but I'm trying to convince her that baseball is really, really fun if she can just sit down with me for a 3-hour Blue Jays game. Maybe next year when Vladdy's up, because that would make the game just so much more entertaining. I'm still trying to explain to her what I'm doing in grad school, but she just doesn't want to listen. But hopefully one day. But
why does your mom?
Is your mom a hockey fan?
Honestly, my mom doesn't like any sports, so it's horrible talking to her. It's just really rough. She asked me how school's going. I just gotta say good. I can't be like, oh, I just got a pitcher to come in. We put a bunch of markers on him and we had him throw cheddar off the mound. No, that's not gonna work. It's more so good, bad. I did well on this midterm. I did poorly on this other one. And we just move on and talk about something else. But hopefully one day she'll realize that baseball is the greatest game in the world and it's not just slow and boring.
Richard, I can relate to that. Richard. For first 2 years of my college career, obviously I've been dedicated to working in the game of baseball ever since I've stepped foot on a college campus. And my dad for 2 years, just like, what are you doing exactly? And I'm like, I'm trying to work in baseball, Dad. And he's like, what do you exactly do with that? Yeah. And I'm like, great. So when I finally got my first collegiate summer league coaching job in the NYCBL, I was in a car with my dad driving back to Cleveland because I didn't have a car on campus. And he looks at me, he's like, what are you doing this summer again? And I'm like, Dad, I'm going. It's like, yeah. What exactly are you coaching? What school are you coaching? I'm like, dude, my God.
Yeah. We should just all be born into baseball families, because these questions just never come up. Like, Derek, I'm sure you if you tell your dad, hey, I want to do this in baseball, you'd be like, cool, go for it. Why not? Right.
Honestly, I mean, it's you would think so, but my dad actually is transitioning out of baseball, and biomechanics is obviously still top of mind, and youth pitching safety, but he's really turned over to look at the mental game. He released a book called Crunch Time: How to Be Your Best When It Matters Most. And it really just kind of relates life through a series of adversities, and just the ability to reframe pressure situations so that you can face them in a positive light, right? So turning something that's negative into a positive. Like, for example, one of his stories would be like, hey, one of his pitchers just blew a save. And, blew a save in a playoff game, and you're bummed out. You think the world's going to end, and, taking that moment, reframing it, and be like, well, this is actually the start of your comeback, right? And twisting it to a positive light. So he's really more focused on the mental game. So maybe I'm not sure what your mom and what your mom and dad do for fun, but I'm sure, just like everyone else, I'm sure they face adversity. So maybe we could find some common ground there.
No, trust me, it's a struggle sometimes. But yes, mental game is super important. I was, being a Jays fan, I wish that's something David Price could have dealt with better when he pitched for us in the playoffs, because we could have been a much better team.
Yeah, except for that, he even pitched for y'all.
If our ace starter was good at baseball when it matters. But we're just wrapping this up. This has been a really great podcast. It's always awesome having great guests on talking about baseball. Again, it's really, really awesome what you guys are doing over at 3P Sports, Derek. And thank you again for doing this and jumping onto our podcast. This has been great.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, guys.
Awesome. And
Yeah, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
And just to jump back to a thing you said earlier, you said Brewers and Astros, right?
That's what I got, yeah. But
If that happens, who's winning that series?
Oh man,
I felt like putting you on the spot right there.
When it happens, you got to get me back on before game one. Okay. I'll have an answer for you then.
Okay, it better be a really well thought out answer that if that's what happens. And
there you go.
Yeah, and hopefully, if that does happen, I just want to see Alex Bregman win. That would just make me happy.
Again?
The more guys like Alex Bregman, Javi Baez, Yasiel Puig win, the happier I am. I'm a big when it comes to like pimping everything. So I think the game of baseball is a lot more fun when guys pimp pop-ups. It brings more personality.
Hey, pimp it.
Well, anyways, Derek, thanks again for jumping on. It's been a blast. And good luck to you and your company moving forward.
Thanks, man. You as well.
Well, that does it for another episode of Pitching to Contact. A really fun discussion about really the future of baseball and the future of pitching. Pete, this has been a blast. We'll be back in a week.
It's always has been a blast, man.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys. Peace and love.